Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There may not seem to be a lot to joke about when it comes to living in the reality of a global pandemic. And yet, among the many coping strategies that are suggested in these difficult times of disrupted lives and the ebb and flow of anxiety that may find us in places of disrepair, we find moments of levity to offer us some joy. If possible, there are moments in each day where we may see some light, maybe even laugh a little. For as they say, laughter is good medicine. And so on this Sunday, it's a blessing to have the opportunity to have a little fun sprinkled into our worship service. A member of our congregation, Dean Olson, has had some fun making light of the reality of our current situation, especially poking some fun at the news reports we have heard of people hoarding such supplies as toilet paper, and how there was even a period of time when shelves were empty of bread and eggs. Dean is a retired officer for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources and a true outdoorsman. He's a member of Bethel and a friend of mine on Facebook. Hi there, Storm and Norman. Oh, I'm sorry, I probably am in your way here. Cleaning up a little. Thanks so much, you're so helpful. Appreciate it. You carry on now. I'll get back to my sermon. Thank you so much. Back to Dean Olson and someone having a little fun today as well. Dean Olson has had fun posting these pictures on Facebook. He and his hunting dog have been out on the hunt looking for things like toilet paper. And you can see in this picture and this post, they were successful. A little later, he posted this picture, again, making light of this current situation. He had snagged 2 loaves of bread and had some fun talking about how important it was to be on the hunt for these things, that he needed to find them. Some good puns in there as well. And finally, another post where he had some excellent success on his hunt. Great picture and caption included as well. Thank you, Dean, for having fun, being creative in these difficult days, for good humor along the way. Our gospel reading for this day, the concluding words of Matthew's gospel, are set in a moment in time where there is really nothing to joke about. It's not time to make any sort of humorous comments around this time. Jesus' death is no laughing matter, as there has been incredible drama and struggle. In Matthew's account of the resurrection, this drama includes the earth shaking, angels rolling back a stone with their great strength, guards overcome with fear, women terrified, and then the shock of an empty tomb. Add to this the drama of an angel who commands the women to return to the disciples, to go and to tell them what they have seen, and then to direct the disciples to go to Galilee. And while they are running to tell the disciples this news, the risen Jesus himself meets them on the road and repeats the angel's directive. The women fell at Jesus' feet with fear, but also filled with joy to see with their own eyes the risen Savior. Can you imagine what that must have been like for those women? To be able to actually touch the feet of their Lord, to see him filled again, not with pain, but with life. Meanwhile, the plot thickens. Rumors are starting to spread throughout the region that this resurrection story is fake news. Instead, the real story, supposedly, is that the disciples were the ones who have stolen Jesus' body. So you see, the disciples were fearing for their lives. It is against this backdrop, all of this drama, struggle, and anxiety, that the reading we hear today sets the tone. The reading we hear today comes into that place of struggle and anxiety and completely changes things. The 11 disciples who go to the mountain haven't seen any of the things the women have seen. No earthquake, no angel. They haven't seen the risen Jesus or heard his voice. They are filled with fear, and their reputations will soon be tarnished by rumors that they have somehow been behind a hoax to get other people to believe that Jesus was alive. The only thing they have to hold on to as they set out for the mountain in Galilee is a word. The word is the directive from the women and Jesus himself. That word is to go. Go to Galilee. Jesus will meet you there. And so they go. They don't know whether the women's word is true, but they head north from Jerusalem to Galilee, holding on to a promise that Jesus would rise again, that Jesus was not dead but alive. The resurrection had really happened, and they were about to know this truth today and every day to come. This was not one moment isolated in history, but it would be a moment that would transform every day that followed. While it is true that this is not Easter Sunday, we're only a week away, we continue to hold on to Easter joy today. This idea of Holy Humor Sunday, scheduled as the Sunday immediately following Easter, isn't a new tradition. The early church would often use Easter Monday or the following weekend to gather for lighthearted celebrations of God's great joke upon the devil. A laughter Sunday to be intentional about Easter joy. It was in the mid-1980s that there was an effort to bring this tradition back, in part because it's always good to laugh, but also a way to keep that Easter high. This Sunday in the season of Easter is sometimes called Low Sunday, because there is a letdown after Easter Sunday when attendance seems so small in comparison to the packed church pews of people with family and friends dressed in their Easter best. And of course, there are the jokes about the people who come only on Christmas and Easter, the creasters, and they are the ones to fill the pews but not show up a week later. Well, the good news this day is that the attendance in our sanctuary this morning is consistent from last week. And actually, I'm having the crowd be panned right now by the cameras at home so that you can see. In fact, we are at our consistent attendance of 6 to 8 people. So we have not dropped in attendance. We're holding strong. But actually, it's pretty sad, right? We pastors have settled a bit into this new normal, but it continues to be incredibly disorienting to not have your physical bodies in these pews. And yet, we know that many of you are tuning in with the live stream broadcast, or later today, or in this coming week as you watch this recording. In fact, I chuckle a little bit at the thought of you sitting in your living room right now, maybe even in your pajamas, eating some cereal at the breakfast table. I actually thought about wearing pajamas to Holy Humor Sunday worship. But clearly, for you and for us, things are very different. Definitely not the same. Add to this the ambiguity about the future. We just don't know how long it will be this way. Is this the new normal? Well, for the disciples, things were definitely not the same. Traveling to Galilee, they were no longer a group of 12. The gospel names the number. There are now 11 disciples. Judas, their friend, the betrayer, is dead. Grief and uncertainty must have made for heavy steps and weighted hearts. And now, what would it be like to live into these days? One less friend? And of course, without Jesus to lead them. And what if they were to arrive at the mountain in Galilee and Jesus wasn't there? Then what? Yet they go, with no clear guarantee, but a word, a promise as to what is next. For me, in these last weeks, where days seem to blend together, Easter Sunday had served as a marker of sorts. It was something I was looking forward to that might help keep that familiar rhythm to the days and weeks and the months. But now that Easter Sunday has passed, we are still going forward without really knowing exactly what is next. And you may be asking the same question. I think about how long will we be worshiping like this? When will it be safe for you and hundreds of others to come back to Bethel's sanctuary and building? When will businesses reopen? How long will we have to deal with job loss or being furloughed? Will distance learning for our children continue for a few more weeks, or will this be the way it is for the rest of the school year? How many more people will be infected or die? We aren't sure what our summer will look like, if we can travel, what we might do in the time in between, maybe even a possible game or two we could attend. Could we travel north to the cabin? There's so many questions that remain yet to be answered. When the disciples faithfully traveled and then arrived at the mountain, they were met by the risen Jesus, just as he had promised. Jesus was with them. Matthew says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. All worshiped, but some, in the midst of the 11, still held doubt. Devotion and hesitancy, a mixture of faith and doubt, even in the bodily presence of the living Christ, it was hard for some of them to shake off the fear and the anxiety. So then it is interesting what follows, what we know to be this great commission. Jesus telling the disciples, even in their fear and doubt, to go. Things will be different now, but it will be their word, their telling of the resurrected Jesus to others, the ones that they have seen with their own eyes. This will serve to lead others to trust and to follow Jesus themselves. Perhaps the disciples' own mixture of worship and doubt was preparing them for others' reactions when they were the ones telling that word of good news. Some will believe, and some will doubt. You and I have not seen the risen Christ with our own eyes, and yet we have his word. A word carried by women from the tomb who met Jesus in the flesh on the road in the fullness of his life. A word carried by the disciples from a mountaintop when they saw the risen body of Jesus on the road, on the mountaintop, all the way to this time and place when we continue to trust that that word is truth. For what has become of the risen body of Jesus? Well, it is now this body called the church. Not a building, but in each of you who carry within you the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, your Lord. You are the church. You are Easter people because you hold within your very being the word of life, life-giving hope and joy in the resurrected Lord. We are strengthened as a body when we can physically gather in these pews in a space like this one. And yet, even when we cannot gather together, we trust that it is Jesus' promise to always hold us together. Likely, this is why this time apart is so difficult, because we realize how much we need the bodily presence of one another. It's one way we are assured. We are assured that we are not alone. Seeing someone on a screen helps, but to have their physical presence gives us an assurance that we need to calm our doubts and our fears. Jesus' body would depart from the disciples, but he sends them with that powerful word, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Even as we await seeing the risen Lord face to face, we have this great promise that is in the body of Christ, in the church, in you and me. We have this certainty of Jesus being with us, together or apart. This body of Christ holds the promise that we will never be alone. This past week, I listened to a science writer, David Quammen. He was interviewed about a book he wrote 8 years ago. The title of the book is Spillover: Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. His book lifted up the very real possibility of what could be the next human pandemic. And at the conclusion of the interview, he was asked, now that he was looking toward a future, what did he think this future held? Because many of the predictions in his book had become our new reality. Mr. Quammen thought for a moment, and then he replied, I am not an optimist by nature, he said, but I am stubborn when it comes to hope. Even when we live in a time that can fill us with doubt and fear, and make even the most optimistic among us less joyful. Because of the promise we have in Christ, we are stubborn when it comes to hope. We take Jesus' word to heart. It is what gives us joy and makes our joy complete, no matter the circumstances. Jesus says this word to you, hold on to this with stubborn hope. I am with you always, Jesus says, to the end of the age. Amen.